lassen. When it comes to the four immeasurables, I think there's a really very good reason, a rationale, for focusing initially on oneself. The very notion in modernity, the very notion of having a path, especially to genuine happiness, to liberation, is really quite alien. We're not given any grounds or any kind of hope for that. And so this is introducing something fresh. And so as we cultivate love and kindness and compassion for ourselves, I think there's enormous value in bringing to mind some kind of vision of how that might unfold. It's not a plan. It's certainly not a set of goals, but it is a sense of direction. And I remember years ago, it must have been close to 40 years ago, I was having a conversation with Geshe Bemba, Geshe Rabten's personal attendant, who was also a geshe in his own right, and a marvelous practitioner. And he was speaking to me just one-on-one, and is emphasizing this point that he says, it's very important to have in your heart and mind a vision of the path you'd like to follow. And not just, I want to practice Dharma, or I want to be happy, or I want to be enlightened. But, okay, how's that going to play out? What's your strategy? And so coming back to the question that Morgan raised yesterday, I'd like to comment briefly, and you know what that means. Really, really short. Come back to that, one of my favorite parables, and it's almost a universal parable. It sounds a little bit like the parable of the son in Christian tradition? The prodigal son. Prodigal son, yes. Sounds a little bit like that, doesn't it? But the prince, the wayward prince, the foolish prince that came back, that was on his begging rounds, came to the minister. And when he came there and the minister saw him, I mentioned the minister just gave him some very sharp questions when the young prince was absolutely persuaded he was simply a 100% beggar. That the wise minister just gave him some very penetrating questions. Boom, boom, boom. And right there, the prince just peeled off like dead skin all of his notions of his ordinary identity as a beggar and just immediately recalled, penetrated through to his true identity and knew that the minister's words were correct, that he in fact was a prince. He was royalty. And that was it. Then he was enthroned. But he wasn't enthroned as, how do you say, something coming from outside, but something that he knew he was utterly worthy of. Now one could imagine, coming back to your question, Morgan, one could imagine the minister, if that didn't work, you know, and the guy, and the prince said, well, I'm amnesiac. What do you expect? But I know I'm a beggar. Now, do you want to give me some food or not? If not, I'm out of here. But what would you do then? If the beggar said that, you know, I'm not a prince. I can't remember why he was. So I had brain damage. You know, you want to blame me for that? I mean, you're just beating up me all over the place. You know, starts whining. And so imagine the wise minister, very wise, and he says, okay, never mind. I'm sorry. I kind of made you feel uncomfortable there. No, I won't give you any food, but I will give you a job. I'll give you a job. I'll let you work in the, you can do cleanup. You can wash dishes, and we'll give you some food that way. And would you like the job? We'll get regular meals. It's the lowest job we have, but you're a beggar after all. What do you expect? And the guy says, okay, well, sure, that's better than scrounging around, never knowing where your next meal is coming from. So imagine then the wise man brings him into his home and hires him the lowest rate, lowest job. But the minister knows exactly what he needs to do. And as this young prince beggar takes his employment there, then he just gets all the encouragement he can. And further training, and he starts to get promoted, and promoted, and promoted, and his nobility starts to show, and he keeps on getting promoted until eventually he's really way up there, and does something quite noble, with a lot of encouragement, really the minister kind of taking him under his wing, as if he was his own son. And finally, the young son, the beggar, behaves in such a noble fashion, but the minister, who himself is royalty, says, well, this was so noble what you've done. I'm now going to knight you. You will now enter the nobility. So congratulations. And we'll have a formal ceremony for this, and you'll become Sir, whatever your name is. So he feels enormously gratified by that. He enters the nobility with this formal ceremony, you know, touched on, kind of business, maybe even a pot on the head. And then he's trained, now, you know, you must learn how to behave like nobility behave, and I'll train you in that as well. Because you don't know that, but you know, now you are a noble person. We've anointed you, empowered you. And so now I'll train you how to be a nobleman. This will be some shift of life, but you'll get used to it. And then he just keeps on getting elevated and promoted up into higher, higher levels of nobility, until finally, the minister says, well, you know, we lost our crown prince. We lost him entirely. But you've risen to such a rank that now we have decided you'll be our next king. And so welcome to be our king. Okay? So that would be another route. You know, Sutrayana, hired to wash dishes, but do them well, wash well, until eventually you get the empowerment to venture into the nobility of Vajrayana. And then finally, the pointing out instructions. You are now the king. Be a possibility. So for these many tulkus, there must be hundreds of them, and most of them Tibetans, Bhutanese, Nepalese. It's really as if they are anointed as nobility from early childhood. It may as well be an empowerment. It's for all practical purposes is that. And they're simply telling the 3-year-old child, the 4-year-old child, you are nobility, and now we're going to train you how to behave like a noble person. We'll get the best tutors we can come up with, and we're expecting you to behave nobly and live the rest of your life in accordance with the noble fashion of the great Aryas, the Bodhisattvas, and the Buddhas. And many of them turn out very well. Some of them turn out totally spoiled, and some are just rotten. But many of them turn out well, and some of them are spectacular. Some are spectacular. See, that's a fair generalization. So a few rotten apples, a lot of them quite good, and some simply spectacular. Something of a range. Rather like, oh gee, nobility. Some are just rotten apples, some are pretty good, and some are just exceptional. So it's a pretty strong parallel. So as we return now to the 4 immeasurables, choose which one you wish, but I would invite you, really, to envision your own path. and release all appearances and aspirations. Rest free of thoughts in your own nature. And let the nature of your mind rise up to meet you. One more footnote. This gradual path of the Sutrayana and then segueing over into state regeneration and completion. Of course, the culmination of that is to break through the coarse and the subtle mind to the innate mind of clear light. And so it's breaking through from the side of being a sentient being, step by step. From Shravakayana, Bodhisattvayana, and on through. And then breaking through from this side over to the other side. And the path of Dzogchen, of course, still entails a breakthrough, Tekchu. I could be completely wrong here, but it seems to me it's more like Rigpa breaking through to our side rather than our breaking through to Rigpa's side. Because it happens by certainly the preparatory steps of shamatha and vipassana. But then the rest is reception. It's receiving Huanyin instructions. You don't pull it out of the Lama. There's nothing for you to do when you go for pointing out instructions. You receive it. And so the breakthrough is coming from the side of Rigpa, embodied as your guru. And then, as it unfolds, it's really like you're down in a mine that's had a cave in, and you're resting there, doing as little as possible, and you just keep on hearing the people from on top, excavating until you see the light, and the light gets brighter and brighter and brighter, and then you're brought up. The light, and then you're enlightened. Something like that. Maybe. Enjoy your day.